Well, hey, Vanya.
Hi.
How's it going over there on the West Coast?
It's going. It is, I don't think it's as cold as where you're at.
No, we actually have snow. We have snow. And snow. I didn't realize this is the first significant snow New York has had in, I think it was 701 days. We didn't get any snow last winter.
Wow.
Yeah, or at least not enough for it to like stick. And the funny thing is like we got like 1.7 inches and 701 days ago, we got like 1.6 inches. So like even that, like it's weird. Really not that much snow.
That is crazy. That makes me think, scary stuff.
End of days.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was pretty last night. Like it happened overnight. And then, oh my gosh, I woke up at like 6:30 this morning, which is insane for me. I mean, I went to bed fairly early, but like still to wake up, I laid in bed for like an hour and was finally like, I guess I'm going to get up. So I like went for a little walk in the snow and that was pretty. But yeah, I'm assuming that around 7 or 8 in the evening, I will just fall over. That's probably not true. I'll probably be more awake than ever.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. I'm just finding a pen because I had to remember something that I was going to tell you.
Yeah. I'm flying without notes today because I guess I could do it on my computer. My phone is not going to die. It's going to survive this conversation. Let's but then hope. I was like, well, just in case I'll have my iPad nearby. My iPad is at 1%, so uh-oh. I need to really charge that. But I think it'll all be fine. I mostly know because I thought we would just talk about like our holidays. We didn't record for a couple
That's
of weeks.
True.
And that was Christmas and New Year's. And I don't, what was your Christmas Eve and Christmas like?
Well, we had a lovely Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. It's so funny. We were at our own house and it was pretty amazing. It was just nice to let the kids... Sorry, I'm trying to find my notes from all the way back there because I was making notes. It was great to let the kids be here and wake up to everything that they, you know... Like, we're always traveling. We're the only family that always travels. When we lived in New York, we always came home, back to the to the Washington. And now that we live... And I guess we're the ones who live farthest away, so it makes sense. But, you know, we spend a lot more money every year than everybody else, not to be... You know, it's not a competition, but there's a point where I'm like, you know what, I truly love seeing our family, I really want to have some traditions that we create on our own and not just be at the whim of everyone else's schedules and, you know, just not, I think everyone understood. And then we did go to Washington State for New Year's Eve, and that was lovely. And it was super fun. Although I will say I got sick. Hold on. I gotta find. Oh, here we go. Yes. So I watched while we were in Washington State. I watched The Big Mouth. I was getting through Big Mouth, the most recent season. Right. And I watched the episode with the kid who's probably on the spectrum, ASD.
Sure.
And I was like, honestly, I think I have ASD because I was having like a psychotic episode a bit when I was in Washington State because honestly, I was like, what is wrong with me? I think I need to go to some sort of a psychiatrist or some sort of a person to help. But like the light everywhere I went was bothering me. It was making me feel crazy. Like, because it's so dark where we're from in Eastern Washington. Like, it's like big sky, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a big old sky and the clouds are low and dark and it gets light at 8:30 in the morning and it gets dark at like 3:40. And I was like... We were there for 7 days and I was really, truly struggling mentally. And I was in my family's home, my parents' home, and I'm like, I need a hat. Like, it was like the lights were so aggravating to me. And I honestly, I think I probably should seek some help because I don't know, but it really like messed me up. And then after watching that episode, I can't remember which one, it's like the third to last. And I was like, that's me. I think that
that was a really, really interesting episode. I thought that was really, really well done.
It was really well done. It's when, you know, the really fashionable, cute, cool, gay character, they're going to high school, and then he's really close friends with the kid with ASD, and they go shopping together.
Yeah.
And the mom is so proud. She's like, okay, because they have to... You know, the child with ASD wants the backpack, the exact backpack he had, and they can't find it. And so they go on this journey, and everybody grows, and it's great. But I was like, I think that I have some real, I think the more stressed I am, and it's just being really honest, the more I let things like aggravate me and like send me into a real spiral. And it's embarrassing to say a little bit because I feel like I'm really normal and like all these things, but I definitely struggle in stressful situations. And sometimes I don't know what it is, family traveling, just being with the kids, you know, not being in a comfortable environment normally. Maybe that's what did it. But yeah, that was that. It was fun though.
Did you have people over for New Year's Eve? Wait, were you like secluded on New Year's Eve? Do I remember this correctly?
Yes, I totally forgot. See, I'm a positive person. I completely like put that. My parents had like 30, 50, I don't know, lots of people at the house, and I helped plan this event. I made like, I created a huge balloon arch with all these, you know, 2024. It was really pretty. I'll have to send you the pictures. I was very proud. And, you know, we did all the decorations. We got all the food, got everything together. And that day I started feeling my stomach was cramping. I basically spent the entire time in the bedroom while everybody was partying. And my mom and my husband would come in and check on me every once in a while. And I didn't drink anything. I couldn't eat anything. I didn't eat anything for 48 hours. And I think it might have been norovirus, or I don't know, maybe I had a cyst or something that was exploding in my uterus, because it felt like birthing a child / norovirus. No puking or pooping. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, I was texting you. I was like, I can't. It was a little bit sad, but you know what? It was what it was. And I woke up real... Well, I was still a little sick the next day, but I wasn't hungover. So there you go. Yeah. How about you? What was your holidays like?
You know, it was interesting. Christmas Eve, I was supposed to work. I've talked about this a bit, I know, but like I had sort of decided that because I was going to be in New York for the holiday season, that I would work all the shifts that I never work, that like others can have their Christmas Eve off and others can. But then there was a coworker of mine who really wanted to work on Christmas Eve. And I was like, well, I don't really want to work. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, well, you can have my shift. That's fine. I'll take Christmas Eve off. And I was like, well, that's great. Now I'll have Christmas Eve off. And I will say that our friend Annabelle has like a new tradition where she takes herself out to like a nice meal on Christmas Eve and then kind of like sees where the evening takes her. And she, of course, invited me. And I was like, that sounds very nice. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go see a movie that afternoon. And then I'm probably just going to want to like go home and just sort of like be in my apartment. And so I made perhaps a mistake. Uh-oh. In my movie choosing. I feel like I've talked this with others, but I don't think I've talked about it with you. So I've been very curious to see this new movie called All of Us Strangers.
Oh.
And I'm sort of, it's Andrew Scott, who was, you know, like Hot Priest. Uh-huh. And Paul Mescal, who one of these days you have to watch Normal People on Hulu. You will love it so much. And that he was nominated for an Academy Award last year for After Sun. Is that what it's called? I think I'm messing up my titles. And I kind of knew watching the previews. Like the first time that I watched a preview, I was like, I actually thought the phrase, this film might destroy me.
Oh, no.
But I was still like, I'm still going to go see it. It's going to be. So basically, okay. I swear I will not spoil too much. I will just give away like things that you find out in the first like 10, 15 minutes, really. But basically, so it's about, you know, a single gay man of a certain age.
Okay.
Who is sort of trying to, I will say that his parents are played by Claire Foy and, oh gosh, I'm forgetting his name. It's the kid who played Billy Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Bell. That's his name. Jamie Bell. And if you do the math real quickly, they're all about the same age. So if you're, I kind of went into it with the idea of like, oh, I think there's going to be some dead parent stuff going on here. And there was. And so I think just like the combination of that, and like definitely a scene took place at Christmas time. But by the time that I left the theater.
Oh my God, Mike.
I was like, I texted Annabelle. And I was like, hey, I know you said you were fine with having dinner by yourself, but how about some company?
Oh my gosh.
And she very sweetly was like, yes, please come join. And so we had a really nice meal on the, you know, Upper East Side, like a nice Italian meal. And it was a lovely like break from the, listen, it's a movie worth seeing. It was just hard. Like, it was just rough. It was a rough, maybe just not the right choice for me to
see.
On that day when I'm already a little bit in my feelings.
Oh my gosh.
So he's wonder, like the whole cast is so good, but it was tough. So then Christmas, all the stories get better now. That was the darkest part of all of it was that Christmas I got up and, you know, I had sort of prepped a breakfast casserole, because one of the traditions I have going back years and years is that someone in my family would always make a breakfast casserole. And it started out that it used to be like breadcrumbs, but somewhere, I don't think because of my gluten intolerance this started, but at some point they started doing hash browns instead. So it's like hash browns.
Better.
And then it's totally better. And then like an egg, like cheese cream mix that you sort of like layer on that. And then you put, like, sometimes we'll put like bacon in it. Mm-hmm. I did like breakfast sausage in this one and like the green chilies and then more cheese on top, and then you roast it. So like I woke up and I baked that while I went for my Christmas Day run, which might sound weird, but I do enjoy going for a run on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And then I went and took myself to the movies, because that's what I've done for years and years. And I went and saw the musical of The Color Purple, and it is lovely. It is definitely not the stage version, nor is it exactly the book. They've sort of taken like elements from the film and the book and the musical and kind of like put it all into one entity.
Interesting.
And there were moments that I was like, this is supposed to happen on a certain day and it's not, and that's weird. But like, overall, I did love it. Wonderful performances. Danielle Brooks, oh my God. She's so good. She's just so good in this. I mean, Fantasia. Like, I saw Fantasia do this role.
Right.
On Broadway.
I think we went together. I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just so wonderful. And like, she's so... Anyways, it's a great movie. I don't know that anything can ever like take the place of that Steven Spielberg film like in my heart.
Yeah.
And nothing has to. Like, I can have both. Like, I can have that and that, and they're both wonderful, and I'm probably always going to be a little partial to the Steven Spielberg, but I'm glad that this exists. And then, you know, lots more Annabelle that I ended up going over to her place that night, because she makes really good gluten-free Chinese food.
Ooh.
So we had like General Tso's chicken with like steamed rice and bok choy. It's really good. She's like, I tried to make it once and it turned out okay. I think she's like just better at it, but yeah, we'll get the recipe. It was very, very good. And then, yeah, New Year's, I was supposed to work, and in fact, I did work. And it's hard to, like, tell this story, because it really all did turn out fine in the end. Work was just weird. I definitely had a moment where I was like, I don't think I'm going to work on New Year's Eve ever again. Like, I think that I'm done.
Good. You learned something.
Right. Yeah. I learned. I was like, this isn't really where I want to be. And it's not, you know, I know I've said before that it's my mom's birthday, and it's not like I usually would spend it with her. I would usually be in New York at work.
Sure.
But it just felt different this year. And I just didn't. And listen, they got me out of there before midnight. Like, and our friend Jesse had come in to eat with another friend, Ethan. And like, they were like, hey, my girlfriend, Ethan's girlfriend, like, bartends around the corner. Like, we're just going to go there and it'll be fun. And it was sort of like, yeah. And then Annabelle's coming, and then our friend Ryan is coming, and like, aww, oh, that'll be great. It'll be like a nice little crew. So the moment that we turned the corner and there was like a line and a rope, I was like, I don't think we've thought this all the way through to the end. Because the person whose girlfriend worked there was able to get in and was able to get two of us in with him. But then there were two that were like stranded out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And it just became really quick. And it was so loud. And listen, it's a college bar in the Village on New Year's Eve. Like, it was exactly what you would think that was going to be. And I think they had all paid like for a party. So it was like food. And it really quickly became like, all right, this isn't going to work. And I don't want to be on a subway at midnight. So we need to figure this out really, really quickly. So, you know, Ryan and Jesse both, obviously Ethan was going to stay because his girlfriend works there and they wanted to be together at midnight. And Jesse and Ryan both live sort of nearish each other in Astoria. And even Annabelle was like, well, there's this guy out in Astoria that I might be meeting up with. Like, we'll go there. I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going. I'm like, I'm getting to a subway. All that I want to do right now is be on my couch with a drink at midnight, which I totally made it. Like, I walked in the door at like 11:58 and like got myself to the couch. You're and like took a picture and was like, I did it. I made it. So it was fine. You know, you're right though. It's just learning. Like, it's just learning, like, all right, so the new mic doesn't really want to be at work on New Year's Eve, and I don't really want to be. I think that house parties are kind of where it's at.
Definitely.
Like, I feel like that's just like best case scenario for me as far as all that goes. So
totally agree.
Yeah, that was kind of the holiday season, and some of it sad and some of it super fun and some of it just, you know, learning.
And can you believe we're still in January? Doesn't it feel like the longest month ever?
But it's also weird that we're like more than halfway through now. I don't know. Like nothing. Yeah. Time doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Oh, that's so funny that like saying time doesn't make any sense reminded me of Time is a Flat Circle, which True Detective debuted on Sunday and I haven't watched it yet, with Jodie Foster.
Oh.
Anyway, that's all. Just note to self. I meant to watch. Yeah, Jodie Foster's in the new season of True Detective that I apparently was not written to be part of the True Detective like canon, but when HBO acquired it, they were like, we think this should blah, 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 blah. So I'm curious to see how that all works out.
I finished Poker Face and I like really loved it. I really loved it.
It's so good.
The episode, the second episode to last. Oh my God. Like Escaping Shit Mountain. Which one is
that? That was my favorite episode.
Oh
that
my
was,
God. I couldn't believe what was going on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I highly recommend. So well done.
Definitely moments where I'm like, I think you're dead.
I know.
Like, I thought like the way that they worked it all out. Yeah. I was a big fan of that episode.
I was stressed out, but I loved it. It was really good.
Yeah. And then you finished Big Mouth. Can we talk about that now? Or is that
sure,
something that should come in?
No, let's talk about it. Yeah, I finished it. And, you know, I am a little more sensitive to some of the disturbing grossness that happens within Big Mouth. I'm just like, oh, God. But honestly, it was a good payoff towards the end, to the end.
So good. It was so funny when you brought it up that you'd finish. I was like, oh, I need to finish that. And then, of course, immediately went to Netflix and was like, oh, I finished this.
You
like,
did.
I finished this a while ago. And I meant to rewatch the final episode because it's a little bit hazy, but I rewatched the premiere. I just think, once again, I know we've talked about it. I just think it's so smart. Like, it's so funny. And it is gross and very vulgar. But, like, just the way that they tell the story is, I just think, really, really smart.
I loved the moment where... whatever, the main kid, the big mouth kid with the big lips, the little one, where he's having like a romantic or whatever moment with somebody and the girl goes outside of herself and she's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. And he kind of is too. And I thought it was such a good learning moment or teaching moment for people, because if something's not working, like I definitely have sat in situations where I'm like, well, I've already gotten this, you know, like you just, you can always stop it. And I loved that they showed that. And also boys feel that way too, not just girls. Because I feel like a lot of times when you're a woman, you're like, oh, the boy's always just gonna, I wanna, so you're like,
sure.
But it's both, and even Adam and I had a great conversation afterwards. He's like, yeah, for sure. I've definitely had moments where I was like, why am I doing this? You know?
Yeah, why am I in this situation? This is not where I wanna be. But it's so easy to just like, well, I don't wanna hurt anyone's feelings and I don't wanna like be a bother. I'm just gonna go ahead and... Yeah, the things that we talk ourselves into doing sometimes.
But let's hope we can teach those lessons to, you know, my kids so they don't have to do that. Don't have to suffer anything, you know.
Yeah,
even
for sure.
Even not having chemistry. That's simply like not feeling like attracted to the person. Just don't, you can stop in a nice way, but you know, there's got to be a way. Anyways, it's a very smart show. Highly recommend it.
I mean, on that note, what you digging this week?
I am digging, it's a documentary, and I'm not sure if it's out yet, but it was on preview content for my husband's work, but it's called The Greatest Night in Pop.
Okay.
And it's amazing. It's about the making of the recording of We Are the World.
Okay.
And it's incredible. They had one night to do it. It was after the AMAs. Because it was the only time they could get all these people together. It is fascinating. It is so, so interesting. And you see so many, you know, of those famous people back in the, I think it was like, when did it come out? Like 80 something, 84?
Yes, something like that.
So when that comes out, you guys got to watch it. The Greatest Night in Pop.
I'm very curious.
It's really good. It's really good. Yeah. How about you?
So in theory, I was going to make a stop recording right now because I wanted you to go watch the thing that I'm digging. But I'll just talk about it, and then, like, as soon as we're done, you need to watch it.
Okay.
Because we are going to be talking about the Emmy Awards a little bit later, and then I'm also going to talk a little bit about, because there were actually two award shows that were back-to-back, were they?
Yes!
Because we also had the Critics' Choice Awards.
I wanted to watch it. I couldn't figure out how to get it streaming. Well, I was frustrated.
You had to go to the CW.
Right, and I have not the CW.
Yeah, most of it is online. I know you can watch Chelsea Handler's opening monologue online, and it's...
That's what
fantastic.
I
mean, she's so good. There's a lot of really fun stuff that happened, but yeah, she did a great job. But here's like, I know we talked about her last week, right? Did we? Yes, we definitely did. America Ferrera. So she receives, I believe it's called the See Her Prize, which goes to an actress who basically like plays a realistic portrayal of a female character, basically.
Okay.
And it's honoring her performance in Barbie. Her speech, just weeping. Like, I was really? Just like, it's like 6 minutes long. It's so good. She's so freaking smart. Like, she's just so smart. And she's so, like, she knows words clearly better than I do. Like, she just, like, the way that she phrases things and the way that she talks about things was so beautiful. And it was mostly about seeing ourselves, like her life, her childhood, growing up watching TV and not seeing herself.
Right.
And, you know, it's a subject that's been talked about before, but like, it's worth repeating.
Yes.
And you just went, like, every single person in the audience that you could just see how it was affecting them. It's just a beautiful speech. I honestly recommend to anyone. I looked it up on YouTube, and you don't want to go to the first clip. You want to go to the clip where it's like Margot Robbie introducing it. And you can, if you want, skip to like the 3-minute and 45-second mark, because that's kind of when her speech starts. Or you can watch the intro with Margot Robbie, who is also a yeah. fantastic person. And yeah, it was just, it's such a great speech. And it was a really fun show. I've never watched it before. I think they only started airing it like last year. Like, I think it's kind of a new really? Thing for it to be. Yeah, I think in the past it hasn't been televised. I could be wrong. But it was very fun. I enjoyed it.
Amazing.
So yeah, that's it. That's my digging.
Oh, I can't.
And then I'll just go right into my could do without, because it has to do with the same thing. And we talked about it last week, and it's the continuation. Stop it with the commercial outros trying to convince us we're having a good time.
I know.
Like, it was the same thing at we had the Critics' Choice and the Emmys, and every commercial is like, things are revving up here at the party. I'm like, you can just tell me who's presenting next. You know what I mean? Like, you can just be yeah. like, and up next, blah. Like, you don't have to convince me that I'm having a good time. I'm here. I'm having a good time.
Oh,
it's okay.
Oh my gosh.
How about you? Anything you could do without?
You know what? No, but I actually want to just one more thing that I'm digging, surprisingly.
Oh, great.
Surprisingly.
It's even better.
So I watched this documentary. It's called The Twin Studies. It's another one of those like sort of vegan, like skewed documentaries about eating whatever healthy. But I've always been vegan curious, as you know, or vegetarian curious. And,
sure.
you know, there was, and I had my husband watch the same documentary, and he was kind of on board to try, because my LDL levels are going up. So I could do without that. But I'm trying to eat like less red meat. And honestly, if I don't have it personally, and I know, you know, I understand vegans who don't eat because they feel bad for the animal, but I don't have a problem personally eating meat because I feel like, you know, I won't go into it, but the point is, I don't want to eat an abused animal. Like, I don't want to eat chickens that are like in a full thing that are just like disgusting. Like, you know, in this documentary, there's like a guy who rents his property to these people who are making like Foster's chicken or something like that. And he's like, I would never let my family eat that, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, ugh. And then the same goes with like beef. You know, I want a happy, free roaming cow. Doesn't know it's the end of days, you know?
Yeah.
Point is, the biggest problem with that is that my husband's like, you know, I have to have a certain amount of protein. Blah. Because, you know, that's the thing. He's trying to eat a lot of protein, eat a lot of fiber. So I'm proud to admit or to report that I have figured out a way to get a lot of protein with, you know, in each of our meals. So we have been for almost 2 weeks now doing fairly vegetarian. Well, let's call it pescatarian because we're still doing
sure.
fish. But I'm proud because I have not been able to change his mind. It's always been a very big struggle if I am going to eat vegetarian or vegan. But he's made it very... Whatever the documentary did to his brain, it helped me. And also the fact that I'm showing him, look, this is, you're getting 25 grams of protein in this meal. So
yeah, sure.
I felt happy about that.
Yeah, I don't think that I could ever go vegan because cheese. Like, I just love, right. you know, like there's just certain things that I'm not sure that I could fully give up. But I'm totally fine with, like, I probably have like a 95% pescatarian diet. Like,
that's amazing.
I eat almost no red meats.
Wow.
If I go to a burger place, I will oftentimes have a real burger, but I don't do that very often. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't eat a ton of it. I've gotten pretty good. I just made a little teriyaki salmon just before we got on
good for
this
you.
Conversation.
I
yeah,
think
exactly.
that I so. Could say I'm also, I could do without is being afraid of cooking fish. Because everybody in our house is like, it smells disgusting in here. Like, everybody loses their minds. And I'm like, well, fine. I won't. You know,
I think that there are some that are worse than others. I don't know. I don't mind the smell of cooked salmon fish.
Well, how do I change that for my kids? Just like put it in their rooms, the smell while they're sleeping.
Exactly.
Just waft it in their rooms. Because I don't mind either. I mean, I of course I love sushi, like raw. Give me the raw fish. I'll eat yeah. it all. I'll eat it all up.
And then, yeah, I haven't... Sushi's so good. Maybe I'll have sushi tonight.
Me too.
And then our topic was just kind of... We're not going to, like, break it down like we did with the Golden Globes, but, you know, the Emmy Awards happened last night. Did you get to watch any or some of it, or...?
I didn't really. I think I watched the beginning, and then we just... Kids went to bed really late, and I was like, I'm tired. I can't do this. So, no. But I figured I would listen to you and hear your recommendations.
Well, it was funny because I found myself getting really annoyed, and I had to, like, figure out why. And I think, though this feels crazy because I'm so into award ceremonies, part of me wonders if it isn't that we had three award ceremonies over the course of, like, 8 days.
It's a lot.
And basically the same people won at every single one of them.
Yeah.
And there's no voter overlap. It's not like it was the same people winning because the same people were voting. Huh. Like, this Golden Globes, Critics' Choice, and Emmys are not voted on at all by the same people. But I just kind of got to the thing where I was like, I already heard this speech. Like, I already know, you know?
Yeah.
And it's people that I really like, mostly. So, like, I don't know why, but I got to a place where I was just kind of aggravated.
Sure.
And I think that maybe that's what it was, is that I was just like, can we mix it up a little bit? And here's the other thing. Whenever there are sweeps, like, whenever, like, because literally it was Beef, The Bear, Succession. Like, those three shows kind of swept all three award ceremonies. And it gets to, and I love The Bear. I'm not complaining about that. And the cast of Succession is amazing. Like, they're great.
Yeah.
We've talked about Beef and my mixed feelings about the show in general. But, like, I just think sometimes when there's a sweep, and this is true for the Tony Awards, this is true for the Oscars a couple of times, when one thing feels like it's winning everything, it almost feels like you're not paying attention. Like, it almost feels like people were just like, oh yeah, this show, this is the one. So I don't know. I guess that was my issue, was that I just had certain things of like, can we give something to someone else? Like, can we, like, acknowledge that someone not, I don't know. I got a little aggravated by the end. They did, like, the reunions, which some kind of worked and some kind of didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, Christina Applegate, I will say, like,
I did watch
coming
her
out. I mean, I was, like, sobbing. I love her so much. And she's just, she's so effortlessly, like, funny.
Yeah. She's like, you know you're shaming me by standing up right now.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. So funny. And then even her thing of, like, okay, we don't have to clap after everything I say.
Yeah.
Like, she just knows. Like, she knows how far she can take the joke. Like, she knows how dark she can get. And, you know, she kind of referenced, like, this last show, Dead to Me, like, you know, perhaps being her last job. And I'm just like, someone figure something out, whether it's a role where she's, I don't know, in a wheelchair or just voice. Like, she's so funny. She's just so effortlessly good at what she does that I don't know. I can't bear the thought of her, like, not doing something more.
I agree. I know. I agree.
But it was very good. And of course, there was part of me that wanted her to win the Emmy Award. And I feel like in my mind, she didn't have one, but she does. She won for Friends. She won for Guest Actress. Mm. And that was another thing that they didn't do last night, is they usually bring in the winners of Guest Actor and Actress to present something. And they didn't have any of that. And I'm like, where's Judith Light?
I know. I needed that moment. I needed the Judith Light moment.
Like, Judith, listen, she has, like, two daytime Emmys. I'm not saying those don't count, but, like, she finally got her first primetime Emmy. Like, let's get her out on that stage.
Seriously.
Anyways.
And she was amazing.
Yeah, she's incredible. And so I'd be curious for you to watch it and see how you felt about it. I don't know. I don't know why I got in such a bad mood partway through that I was just like, I don't like it. Like, I think that I texted you, was like, maybe we shouldn't talk about the Emmys.
I was like, ooh. What happened?
Anyways, highlights and lowlights, I suppose, but there you go. We have a little bit of time off before the SAG Awards come along.
Well, that's good. We need some palate cleanser, you know. Yeah.
And then, you know, do you have anything random for us?
I do.
Okay, cool. Give it to me. Well, actually, let me do mine first, because mine's kind of a weird, like, semi-negative. And that's just that I want to point out that the Critics' Choice Award, Barbie won the award for Best Costume and Hairstyling.
Yay!
Which it can't win at the Oscars because it's not even on the shortlist.
That's
which
bizarre.
Is wild to me that it didn't make the shortlist for the Oscars.
Come in.
That's all. Just very
the
bizarre.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So that is random and upsetting. So mine's random and like, what? I got to see our mutual friend Courtney the other night, and we were having a conversation. Her husband he works in, like, he manages personalities and people like that, but works a lot in reality spectrum of entertainment.
Sure.
Anywho. And they have to watch, like, every reality type show. And she was saying, and I don't know, maybe I'm behind on the times, but we watched a couple episodes. We watched one episode last night, and I will say it wasn't as pizzazzy as I thought it was going to be. But have you heard of the show Naked Attraction? It's a British show.
I don't think I know that
it's one. It's so, stupid. But my random thing is that there is a dating show out there where you have one contestant ready to date somebody, and there's these, like, they're in these little boxes, and number one, the curtain goes up over their waist, so you see genitals and down. And from there, they can make a decision. Who are you going to lose? And it's, like, worth watching just to be, like, A, worth watching because, wow, there's some variety in penises and vaginas out there that I feel like people should see before they're in a room and they're like, whoa, well, I have to manage that. But also, it's just like a spectacle. It's like, what? So the idea is that you're like, you choose someone to date just on looks alone first. And then you work on getting to know each other. So then you go on like a real date with clothes on and talk and stuff like that. So stupid. But, you know, and Courtney was like, it's kind of boring. It kind of is. I agree. Like after you get used to all the many testicles that are thrown in your face and the labias and the pubic hair and the non-pubic hair and the tattoos and the, anyways, all the different body types. But in just in being like, you know what? Everybody's beautiful. Watch it. It's so all right. Stupid.
What is it on?
It's on HBO.
Oh, okay. All right, interesting. So I guess I'll check it out.
Ridiculous, but just do it. Just trust me. It's crazy.
All right. Well, lovely as always. You have to listen, everyone, please do yourself a favor and check out America Ferrera's speech at the Critics' Choice
Awards.
It's right now. Yeah. Right away.
I love you.
Love you as well. And we'll be back next week and we'll see what happens.
Sounds good. All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.